friends, welcome back to another episode of Two Idiot Girls. Woo! How you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you feeling better?
Kind of.
Donnie made us part of the infected when we were in fucking Hawaii.
I know. He gave it to me the second to last day, which is fucking bummer. I do feel like it was... I feel like it happened for a reason, though, because we're leaving again. So it was almost like you got 3 days to clear this bitch out.
Sure.
And that's what I've been doing the past few days. So I am a little under the weather.
Drew didn't get it till like the very last day we were getting ready to leave, which is crazy. But yeah. Whatever.
I'd rather get it at the end than at the beginning, but still, I'd rather get it not at all.
No, I agree.
So... I am still under the weather, not feeling awesome, but feeling fine, which is really all you could ask for at the end of the day.
Every time I look at how tan my body is, I can't be upset about anything when I feel tan. Do you know what I mean? God,
I look at myself every day and I'm like, you beautiful bronze goddess.
How dare you?
That's how I truly look like I'm competing in the Olympia. And that's all natural, baby.
In the Olympia. Oh, yep,
that's a bodybuilding competition reference.
I'm currently in a cut, guys. I'm not. I don't even know what that means.
I'm in the bulk of a lifetime.
I've been bulking.
I'm in a what you would call a never-ending bulk.
That's what the men say online, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what they do be telling me.
I'm glad you're finally being honest.
Yeah, for real.
Are you bulking? If you could bulk the way that I do... You would be mad. Like, when we and Drew talk about weight all the time, not all the time, but when we randomly decide to talk about our weight, like, at our heaviest, right? Mm. Like, we laugh. I'm like, you would be absolutely astonished if I told you how heavy I was at my biggest.
And I wouldn't give a fuck either way.
No, but I'm saying that, like, not to you, but do you know what I mean? Like, even then, if I told you how much I weigh, if I told the audience how much I weigh right now, they'd be like, what?
Well, yeah, I mean, like... I was joking around with Trixie when I was saying I used the fake ID. And I was like, yeah, it said I was 5'3", 125.
Sure.
In what universe? Obviously not. That reminds me of that Pilates instructor bullshit.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure y'all are familiar. Like that girl saying that awful thing about...
She said, I don't know why fat people think that they can do Pilates. They should not be doing it. If you're over 200 pounds, you should not be doing Pilates. And you sure as fuck should not be a Pilates instructor.
And then she got fired.
Not only did she get fired, but they revoked her membership for her lifetime.
And that's what you get, you hateful bitch.
Well, and then it that just makes said, me think, like, as someone who's recently gone to Pilates, and I used to date someone who fucking became a Pilates instructor. She did classes all the time. I asked her, because this was back in, like, fucking 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
I told her, who the fuck's in there? Because I knew what Pilates was, like, loosely, not really. I just knew it existed. And she said, it's nothing but old women. And then I was like, really? She's like, yeah, because it's easier on your body. Like, it was built to, like, rehabilitate your body when you have issues, like, in your back or your shoulders or whatever. So, basically, she's saying that it's for everyone. If you're injury prone, that's why they ask you, do you have scoliosis? Do you have injuries?
Yeah, the genesis of it is accessibility.
It's to, help with accessibility
that's
with people.
Kind of the whole point.
Yeah, and then
now... I'd argue that's actually some of the best exercises you could do if you're heavier because it's not putting too much strain or weight on your joints and your muscles.
But also,
if you're working to get back in... to a certain kind of mobility or shape, like,
but then it also goes back to the fucking, like, they say fat people don't work out and then fat people go do Pilates and they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like it's just... like they'll never be happy. So all that to say, as someone who just recently started really taking Pilates seriously for the last 2 months, I absolutely love it. There are people of all different shapes and sizes in there and I feel fine.
And also, fuck you, bitch. like I'm going to take my big fat ass to wherever the fuck my money allows and you can eat my dick about that shit. Like, what are you... is it your money I'm spending? No, mind your fucking business. Like, see what happens when you don't mind your fucking business. Like, and that just reminds me too, like, that's the whole fucking point of why fitness is so hostile and...
fatphobic.
Volatile and just so fucking evil is because people like that are at the front of it. That is not the basis of fitness. The whole fucking point of, like, fitness is to, like, build a healthy relationship with exercise. Whatever that means for whatever's best for your fucking body. Whether you're walking, sprinting, running, lifting, doing fucking Pilates, or just walking on those little walking pads, bitch, it doesn't fucking matter. Mm-hmm. As long as you're moving your body, that's all that fucking matters. I just can never imagine a world in which you post that shit and you're like, people are going to laugh their ass off and then you get fucking fired. Like,
and then they're going to also, you can't be a member here anymore.
And also get the fuck away from this building because you're making us look bad. That's hilarious. And that's what you fucking get.
Her, I guess she had videos that she posted. I never got to see them, where she was kind of backing it up. Then when she got fired, she deleted all of the videos and then posted her, hey guys, I just really think I need to get closer to God and stop hating myself so much. What are you talking about?
Hating yourself.
Hello? What are you talking about?
I mean, I knew you hated yourself, but
what are you talking about?
Closer to God. I'd argue that'll make you more fatphobic. I wouldn't do that.
What are you talking about?
Hey, hard left, wouldn't do that.
The way we're all just saying things is crazy.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should shut your fucking mouth. That's what I think you should do.
Well, yeah.
You should try that. You should try shutting the fuck up for once. Why don't you try that? Take that for a spin. What I was going to say was I saw our friend Maggie.
Oh yeah.
Winters? I saw Maggie Winters. Yeah. I saw her TikTok on it.
Okay. she's
a comedian.
She's one of Caleb's really good friends. I don't know that she's been on the pod yet, but we were obsessed with her.
She is so funny.
She's the one that she had a video go viral. She was pretending to be the new Pope, which by the way, he's homophobic. I don't know why everyone's surprised when the new Pope is homophobic. What? A man of the Catholic Church? What the heck?
A straight guy from Chicago?
Can I tell you something? I don't understand what that is.
I do. It's the highest form of cult.
Okay.
Sorry.
Like, what is the Pope? What is that?
It's just a guy they pick.
I know. What is that?
I don't know. But when I watch him go on that balcony and everybody's crying, I'm like, this is crazy.
But what is...
Like, we can all agree that that's nuts.
They don't have that in any other...
No, they sure. They well, surely
that we
do
know
not.
Of, but...
No, they don't. That's just their thing.
Is there... Who's the mass leader of the Christian community?
Jesus.
Well... And then
he's obviously not here.
And
but
then they
Jesus.
Worship the Pope in Catholicism.
Girl, you're asking the wrong person.
I'm just curious because I'm like, they're like, we have to pick a new one. I go, but what does he do?
I have no clue. I didn't grow up Catholic.
What does he do?
My
oh, who is you?
Okay, let me just take a stab in the dark and guess, and then everyone will tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, you guys will correct us. So, thank you.
This is Pride and Prejudice all over again.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't mind if you correct us. Just, we don't need, you know what? You guys are going to do what you want to do. But I don't know.
This is me signing my contract that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
This is your assumption.
This is purely based off assumption and no research whatsoever. I think that the Pope is the guy they pick to like receive the messages from God.
Oh, that's what he's for?
I don't know if he talks to God, but I just feel like he's the guy. They're like, okay, we need like an intermediary between us and God. And they're like, this is the guy. Okay. And so he's just kind of like guiding them. So like when they need to like ask things about like, I feel like I might be gay. Mm-hmm. And they ask him and then he's like, it's fine. They're like, okay, the head guy says, and he speaks for the big guy. So that's kind of just my loose interpretation of it. Let's look at it like the bear and he's cousin. Not Carmi, but he is cousin.
He's and a cousin?
No,
he's cousin?
Cousin.
Okay.
He's an essential, integral part of the restaurant.
Sure.
But not the main guy.
Okay.
A head guy, not the
not
main
the
guy.
Main. Okay.
That's my loose interpretation.
Speaking of cousin, that show is coming back in June. Happy Pride! I'm so fired up. I can't wait.
Me too.
You know what I've been watching today before we get back to the Pope? Is that I have been watching the new season of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. And
oh, yeah.
It is just... It is bananas, that show. I will tell you that.
And can I share something with the chat?
If you don't care, I get that too. That's how I feel about most things.
Well, yeah. You know I don't care.
Yes.
Because I never...
That's what I'm saying. You don't need to say that.
I never care about the housewife stuff. No,
I don't
that's
either,
not, that's not
but
what
for
I was,
some reason this one
that's
I
not
do.
What I was going to say.
I don't know why.
Not what I was going to say.
Okay.
Well, I have two. Okay. First one is... the marketing behind it, that picture they have on Hulu,
the one of them standing in the water,
yeah the shit goes hard.
Yeah,
listen,
I agree.
Whoever picked that,
do you
theme,
know what the theme song of that show is?
I don't know that, but I know
no is, I'm gonna tell
is,
you
it, wait, hold on, are the outfits, they're like the loose interpretations of the shit they wear in the temple,
I think,
right?
Of the garments, yeah.
And then that's why they're in the water, because they're getting baptized.
That's my assumption
to get it, clock it. Honestly, I caught
the theme,
it
the theme song
ate it.
It's literally a like chopped up version, and not chopped like in a bad way, but a chopped up version of Unholy by Sam Smith and Kim Petras.
Gay.
But like kind of fun.
Double gay?
Yeah.
Gay.
I'm into that.
Well, here's the thing.
That's why I watched that theme song and I said, this is a show for people like me. They're lesbians.
Gays.
Like one of my lesbian friends was posting, I need a reality show that I can get into that won't stress me out. Well, she said that will stress me out, but it isn't about my life. And I told her, you have to watch The Secret Lives of Mormons. I could not be more different than these women and I have to watch it.
I understand the draw. I really do. That was my first one was that.
Okay.
I'm never going to watch it ever just because I have no interest. But the second one is a lot of those women.
I know.
And they follow me on everything.
I know.
And I feel like I'm being surrounded by predators.
You're stupid.
I'm kidding. I'm
no,
sure.
No.
I don't know anything about them. I can't speak to anyone.
I have to finish season 2 to give you my full opinion.
I can't speak to anyone's character or spirit. I'm just telling you the facts.
Sure.
Sharing it with the chat. It is what it is. Peace and love. Shouts out to the marketing team. Whoever marketed season 2. Artwork's hard.
Every time I think it's getting better, something horrible happens.
And can I say too, like when I was looking at the artwork, like it felt very like Paul Mescal, Logan Lerman, and the other one.
And you know what? You're not wrong.
Dylan because Minnette.
So many of them have names that rhyme with each other.
Oh,
I know.
No,
and then
that
it
would
makes
make
it,
me want to die.
It makes it, like I've already watched season 1, and I was
like
watching,
they're like Hannah, Anna, Montana.
Like it's, I'm not joking. It's like Layla, Macy, Kayla, Michaela, like those all sound like the same name to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's I'm getting
Jesse,
hot.
Layla, Taylor.
I get so unnecessarily stressed out when like I have to identify the difference between many different white people.
And what I will say for season 1, the one girl Whitney, she kept changing her hair so I didn't know who it was sometimes.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And they were like showing her husband next to her and I go, "Who's that?"
It's literally like that.
That's
pic,
Whitney's husband.
Like when Jenna Marbles showed Julian that, like,
Julia
all
Roberts.
Those pictures of Julia Roberts.
And he thought they were all different women, Sandra Bullock, but they were all Julia Roberts. That's what I'm trying. So, but if you
that
watch it long enough, you get used to
nightmare.
You get used to it.
Oh my God.
But this season,
God.
I was like, what even is that girl's name? And then they showed it. I was like, oh, thank God.
I just, you know what? Like, it is what it is. Like, every year, the internet picks a white girl show to focus on.
Sure.
It was Selling Sunset for a minute.
Yes.
Now it's Secret Lives. I am rooting for y'all. Mm-hmm. Let me know how it goes.
Sure.
Everyone shares the tea with me, regardless of how much I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful that we can share in each other's interests.
No, I agree. Like, Carrie was at my house yesterday, and I told her, do you care if we watch my Mormon wife show? She was like, of course not. Put it on. After we caught up on Hacks, which I have been loving this entire season.
Yeah.
So we watched the first episode, and she goes, wait, who is that? So she said she had like loosely watched the last season. She's like, I did not watch all of it, so I don't know everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so that girl, her baby daddy did this, and now she's finding out the extent of what he actually did because he didn't. And she goes, well, who's that girl? I'm like, that's her friend who was like DM'd about. So like I had to explain all the lore when I was watching it.
Right.
Then I paused it because Carrie went home, and then I went up to my room to go, and I got really high and I was laying in my bed. And then I was like, I think I finished the whole season. If the episode ended, that was episode 1. It was the longest 30 minutes of my life.
That's crazy.
But I do really enjoy it.
I mean, I'm happy for you. I'm happy you're happy.
I've never gone into the hype on Housewives. I've tried, and maybe I should try. I think my therapist or someone is telling me to start with Atlanta. Oh, no, it was the girl that does my hair, Michelle. She said, no, start with Atlanta. And I was like, okay. And
you know, I used
and I would
to,
because I like NeNe Leakes, so like maybe I
yeah. And I used to dabble in Love and Hip Hop. That's actually how That's actually how I found Cardi B.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like
was
a lot
through
of
Love and Hip Hop
with Saucy Santana, and that he's in the newer ones.
He's in the newer ones.
Okay.
Like I found Remy Ma through that.
Oh,
like
yeah.
There was lots of really famous people that
no Natalie Nunn and
yeah, all through Love and Hip Hop. So I used to like Love and Hip Hop. Like when I was in college, I used to watch that, but. Yeah, it just kind of lost its sparkle with me. But I'm happy to hear the feedback.
Wait, I'm going to give you tea on one part. Ready?
Okay.
So this is a spoiler for like episodes like 2 and 3 if you guys haven't watched it. Because people have said, you need to put spoiler alerts. We do say them, you guys don't listen. So here is a spoiler alert right now.
Oh.
For episodes 2 and 3 of season 2 of The Secret Lives of Mormon
Wives.
One
thing I'm going to do is talk about things I've read and or consumed. Okay? You should know that about
okay,
me by
so
now.
So there's this girl named... Okay, friends, we're going to take a quick little break, and this is with our friends at Storyworth. So I really want to make Father's Day extra special for my dad this year, and that's why I'm giving him a unique, heartfelt gift that'll truly make him feel loved. It's called Storyworth Memoirs. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a memory-provoking question that you get to help pick. Questions like, did you ever get in trouble in school? Or how did you decide how many children to have? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story, long or short, it doesn't matter. They can either write a story or record it over the phone for Storyworth to transcribe. No complicated apps required, period. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by the stories you've never heard before. After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share for generations to come. I really love the idea of this little book because then if I end up having kids, I don't know, girl, that's a long story. We get to pass these on for generations to come. Everyone gets to look at it and learn more about my dad. Y'all know how much we love our parents. We do these for Mother's Day too, and they're super cute, and everyone really, really likes them. So customers love Storyworth. They've preserved millions of family stories since their founding over 10 years ago. They have more than 40,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, The Wirecutter, The Strategist, CNN, and more agree Storyworth is the perfect gift for the people you love most. So give the dads in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 during their Father's Day sale when you go to storyworth.com/twoidiotgirls. That's storyworth.com/twoidiotgirls to save $10 on your order. Now, back to the episode. Jen, I think is her name. I already forgot her name. And she's married to a white man named Zach, right? Mm. So last season, I think she's like newer to the Mom Talk group. And if I'm being honest, I don't know who's in Mom Talk. It keeps changing and I get confused. And I don't follow any of these women off the show. If it's not on the show, I don't care and I'm not paying attention to it. So anyway, so Jen and her husband. So I think all of them, like all the girls and all their husbands, they all went to Vegas for someone's birthday. Or I think it was for one of the girls was getting a divorce. So they were celebrating it this last season, right? Mm-hmm. And so all the girls go out and they're like, hey, yeah, we're going to go to Chippendales. And that girl, Jen, she's like, in quotation marks, the most Mormon out of all the girls.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are they practicing Mormons?
See, so that's why it gets confusing.
Or are they Jack Mormons?
I think a lot of them are Jack Mormons.
Is the joke that they're Jack Mormons and but they're so righteous they think they're devout Mormons?
Well, so, okay, the show starts off with the main girl, Taylor, who I guess was a famous influencer. Of course, I don't follow white women content, so I wouldn't know this.
Oh, God.
But she started a group called Mom Talk during, I think, COVID or post-COVID.
No, I remember you telling me that.
So, and I told you about the swinging scandal?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So it starts with that. So that's what broke up the group. But then the group that's in it right now, only some of them were part of that, but they never stayed for the swinging stuff. They always
broke
left.
Broke up the group?
Yes.
Aren't these women in their 30s?
Well, see, I thought last season they were all saying they were 22, and then now I'm looking and so many of them are in their 30s.
Aren't
so
they
confused.
Mothers?
Yes.
Broke up the group.
Like One Direction all over again. Wait, okay. So, okay. So it starts with that. So that's why it became like, but all of them are doing like Charlie D'Amelio, like sexy savage type dances in front of the camera. And so
we've strayed so far from God's
they're
light.
Saying that they are liberating women from the patriarchy. I'm not joking with their content. That's what they're saying.
Hey, mi gente.
Hey. Those are my
me too.
Those are my sisters.
Those are my fucking sisters.
And then as soon as I ask them, do you support me marrying a woman? They're like, I don't know.
Of course not. Of course not. Unhand me, lesbian.
Don't be disgusting.
Don't be disgusting,
I
lesbian.
I would be devastated to find. And also, too, guys, I don't know who they voted for. I'm not paying attention to any of that. That needs to be said.
Well, I could tell you.
I just need that to be said.
I could probably tell you guys if you needed to guess.
And that's why I don't follow any of them personally. I just love the drama of the show. Anyways, okay. So they're rehabilitating the group last year, right? So they do all these dances. They post vlogs. They do transition videos with their kids. They do.
So this is like a hype house?
Yes.
But they don't live together?
No.
And they just make content together?
Yeah. So they'll film like.
And everyone's in their 30s. Perfect.
Yeah. They're
okay,
like,
got it.
Apple
perfect.
Pie. Ding. They'll film like.
And everybody's in their 30s. Perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Give or take. They're all from like 23 to 32, I think.
And all with children. Perfect. Love
yes.
that.
All yes. All married.
Of
yes.
course. That makes lots of sense. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. yes. So, okay. So you understand that. So some of them. So that's why like some of them don't like Whitney. Because last season she would be like, you guys are not real Mormons because they drink caffeine and alcohol and then like post about having sex with their husbands. Right.
So they're fucking sick.
So she's.
Oh, it's against God to be sick.
Oh, so it's more, I'm not allowed to be dope anymore. That's against the law.
Oh, I guess having Riz is against God now. My bad.
Wow. Anyway, everybody's a critic. We used to be able to Riz.
Take me back to Riz jail.
No, so like this is an example. So one of the girls, Whitney, who's like starting drama, I don't remember everything she did, but I know at the end of the season I was like, she's mean, I don't like her.
Right.
She said she's like judging all these women for like talking about having sex with their husbands or drinking and stuff. But then she's like, I'm doing a brand deal, which I know is with a very well-known vibrator company because I could tell by the vibrator she was showing.
Right.
She's like, I'm doing this brand deal to liberate women and show them that it's okay to self-pleasure, which I agree with you. That is right, because she didn't learn about that growing up because she was part of the church. But then she's judging them for drinking wine at dinner.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't do both.
That's the most girlhood thing ever. That is being a hypocrite.
It's only okay if I do it. It's not okay if you do
it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's sisterhood.
Sometimes there are things like that. It's only okay if I take forever in the aisle. Actually, it's never okay if I do any of those things. I just lied to you. It's only okay if other people do it. Anyways, so this girl, Jen, last season, they went to Chippendales. Kay. And she was so scared to tell her husband because they act as the most Mormon out of all of the couples, right?
And she went to Chippendales and had a good time.
She cried the whole time she was there because she didn't want
to. I'm not laughing at her.
No, I'm going to explain to you. She cried the whole time because she knew her husband was going to be mad at her. It was so sad.
Well, why did you stay there?
I didn't stay at the Airbnb. I thought the same thing. And so, but like she wanted.
She's like.
She's spanking butt. No, so she was like miserable the whole time. They took a group picture. She's like, I'm not going to be in the picture. I don't want to be with these men. This is disrespectful to my husband. And the girls
then
were like,
bitch, go home.
I know. So the girls were telling her, then go home. But they were also telling her, like, I mean, I get it, but then, like, it's fine. Like, so they were saying, like, her husband's weird. She texts her husband about it, about where they went. But she said, I didn't drink. I didn't even stay. When they went out in the show, she sat backstage. So she's like, I did all this stuff. And then he was texting her, I don't even know who you are. And was calling her a whore. You're not the mother of my children. Like, all these horrible things.
God, it's such a prison. Like, religious expectation and enforcement. Oh.
And then she started telling the girls that her husband has a betting problem. Like, he's addicted to gambling. So then it turned into this whole thing. And the girls were like, leave him. He's mean to you. Then he called her. She put it on speakerphone. They could all hear how he's like berating her. He's being horrible to her. So the girl's like, you need to leave him. He's mean.
And I'm literally painting a very vivid picture of what he looks like and what he's wearing. When he's yelling at her, I'm picturing it.
It's a white guy with bleach blonde hair that's a little too long.
There you go.
He's wearing a backwards hat and boat shoes.
Red ass neck, I bet too.
No, for and face
and chest,
yeah, all red,
rosacea, yeah, gets activated when he's angry,
yeah, all the heat rushes to his face,
yeah, and then like really thin eyebrows,
yes. So that all happened last season, and then this season they're repairing their marriage. That's like the theme of their story.
When Chippendales ruins your marriage.
Me when I let Chippendale ruin
me
marriage.
When I let Chip and Dale ruin my marriage.
So this season,
you know what sucks too is like Chippendales is ass.
I thought they if went you're gonna, I for some if, reason thought they went to Magic Mike Live.
If you're gonna ruin your marriage, like, do it for a good show, like go Usher, to a better one,
go to Usher.
I don't know, just make it worth it. Shit, at least at that point have sex with somebody. You're gonna throw it, you know what I'm saying, for real. You're gonna trash it for real.
This season it's them repairing their marriage. He like left medical school for her. Like, she's like, okay, cool, I want you to prove it to me that like you care about me and that you're sorry about what you did and how you treated me, because also everyone on the internet was like, he's a horrible person, blah, yeah, blah, blah.
This and is so, the guy who yelled at her for seeing naked men.
Yes. Okay. And so they made up, or they're making up throughout the season, right?
They're also not even fully nude, which makes it extra not worth it. Like, you didn't even see ween.
Yes.
That's why I said at that point, well, he's gonna act like that, all's fair then. I'm gonna burn it for real.
So anyway, so then they have this Halloween party where there's like an insane amount of drama. And if I described it to you, it wouldn't make any sense because there's too many people involved.
I just saw a meme on Instagram that was like, the fact that they're in these terrible Halloween costumes makes this episode even funnier.
Yeah, like a new girl that came in. She
didn't understand it, obviously.
A new girl that came in, but she's part of the OG Mom Talk, and that's a longer story. Her name's Miranda. She came dressed as, her and her boyfriend were Mr. Krabs, or a Krusty Krab. So then he's like a Krusty Krab worker, but not SpongeBob. He just has like, you know, when he delivers the pizza and he has like, does he wear a zip up jacket? No, huh?
No.
No, this one he's wearing a red zip up jacket and a red hat and is holding a pizza box.
Well, you know, Mormons weren't allowed to watch SpongeBob because gay. That's true.
Well, and then she dressed up as like, I think is Mr. Krabs. Huh? She has a crab hat on, like just the eyes. Then she has the little claw gloves. Then she's wearing a tight cat suit that's covered in dollar bills. And she's carrying a little bag of, like, a little money bag.
It's a mess.
A mess.
I can tell you're Mormon, that's for sure.
Wait, okay, so this is the last part I'll say. So they go to the Halloween party, and two of the girls that fought with that girl's husband the last season.
The one who's pissed off about her being a whore.
Yeah.
Okay.
And fight, meaning, like, they were talking shit on him in their solo interviews, and then he watched the whole show when it came out last year.
Okay.
So,
That would be my favorite part.
Yeah.
Like, the reunion would be my favorite episode.
I don't even think they did one.
Well, either way, like, that would be my favorite part, would be them coming up to me and saying, I heard you said this. And I'd be like, I did say that. I did.
Which, that's why. So,
in fact, they cut out most of the stuff I said.
The girl, she asked her husband, it's really important to me that you make up with my two friends. So he goes to a coffee with them. And then he goes, well, yeah, like, and he's pointing to Demi. She's my favorite one. Right now, I don't know how season two ends. He points at her and he goes, you, like, said that I gambled away my medical tuition, my medical school tuition that my parents gave me. She goes, I did say that.
She's so mean.
And then they're just staring at each other. He goes, okay, well, it's not true. And she goes, that's what your wife told me. And he goes, well, that's a lie. Then they have a meeting with the wife and she goes, I don't know why I said that. And then they're like, what? And then they keep skirting around everything else. I can't tell if she's lying or if they're framing it that way. It was very confusing when I was watching it.
I never said that. Yeah. I'd be like, well, why would I make that up?
Yeah. So she was like, no, she said, I don't know why I said that.
I know. I'm just saying.
She said, that's not true. I don't
know
why.
Okay. Well, then if I was the friend, if I was to me, I'd be like, well, are you a fucking gambler or not?
No, he is. And he said, I am.
Yeah. Then I'd be like, okay, well, then, like, details of the story are ancillary, aren't they?
That's right. She said, well, your wife told me that. And he was like, what? Then they asked the wife and she goes, I don't know why I said that. That's not true. Hello?
And then the friend's like, yeah, see?
So then the two girls that she's friends with, they have husbands. Demi, she has like a 20-year age gap with her husband, right?
Yikes.
So the two of them have husbands.
Like older or younger?
He's older.
Yikes.
Like, I think his oldest daughter is the same age as her, like a year younger than
her. Oh, lovely.
Anyway, so these two girls have husbands. One of them is throwing the Halloween party. And she plans to have both of their husbands and one of the Chippendale dancers come do a Chippendale's performance at their Halloween party.
Why?
And then guest of honor is going to be Jen, and then it's exposure therapy for her husband to see if he still supports her.
This is okay. So you're just okay. Well, don't make me start agreeing with men.
I know. I was like,
don't make me start agreeing
and
with
all
men.
Of, obviously, it was all out of fun. He's friends with two of both the husbands.
No, this is orchestrated drama at its finest.
Yeah,
like,
I did not understand.
Like, this is
it.
For real, like, made to cause problems drama, which is why I hate that kind of television. Mm-hmm. But like, kind of funny.
I mean, that part was the least there was an even bigger fight that I cared more about at the party that seemed natural than, like, that one was like, why would you do that? And then he kept telling his wife, like, why would they do that? And she goes, I don't know. And he goes, they didn't tell you they were going to do that? Like, he's like, I would have thought it was funny if one of the husbands, because he's friends with them, if they had called me and said, hey, we're going to do this, it's just a joke, it's just to be funny about, like make fun of
well, that would take all the fun out of it.
They want to see the surprise.
Of course they can't tell you. That's the point.
So he's telling his wife, like, you didn't know they were gonna do that. She goes, well, when I was at the hair salon, they kind of were talking about it, but I thought they were joking. Then they show her at the hair salon and they're telling her, and she goes, that's gonna be so funny. So she lies. She lies.
That's funny.
And now I'm sure he's watching it and he's mad. But anyways, that's one of the things I was gonna tell you, is that, like, her husband, like, I thought 100% obviously was being ridiculous and horrible in the first season.
Yeah.
But then in season two, I'm kinda like, I don't know, guys, I feel like we're pushing buttons we don't need to.
Well, honestly, at that point, it's funny.
Sure.
The point is, oh, so you're all just terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're all terrible, then we might as well enjoy the ride, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of how I'm looking
just
at it.
Just a lot going on. So sorry to talk way too much about my white girl show, but I do enjoy that. I'm watching Hacks. What else am I watching? The Last of Us. Oh, can we talk about the movie we watched in Hawaii or no?
No.
Okay. We watched a movie that's coming out.
Yeah. That's all we watched a movie that's coming out.
That's all we'll say about it.
I will say this.
Okay. All right, friends, we're gonna take another quick little break, and this is with our friends at Dry Bar. This podcast is presented by Dry Bar's all-inclusive 8-in-1 multi-styler that we have right here in the back, and Blowout Defense Collection, an all-in-one game-changing tool in liquids that together deliver blowouts that last up to 96 hours. So the all-inclusive styler back here is their first tool of its kind to combine both heated airflow and heated styling attachments, so you can take your hair from wet to dry to styled with just one tool. It comes with four different attachments with two modes to give you 8 different ways to style. I also really love that the products up here have less damage StyleLock technology that optimizes air and heat to reduce long-term heat damage. The blowout defense strengthen and extend blowout accelerator spray cuts blow-dry time by 32% while locking in styles. And I also really love that both of these things, the all-inclusive styler and the blowout defense collection, are your blowout's best defense. Get blowout styling power for up to 96 hours, period. We all know I cut my hair. I'm obsessed with it. And I have been utilizing the little liquids. I'm going to start using this guy in the back. And it literally makes my hair last for so long, which is really nice because I try not to wash my hair too much because I know that's not good for it. And this helps take all the thinking out of it. It makes it way faster and so much easier for me. I love that these products also have a hydrobond peptide that acts as a pre-blowout treatment for healthier, longer lasting styles. And again, I love that they last for up to 96 hours. That's period. So don't just get ready, but stay ready. Get a blowout that lasts now and shop Drybar's all inclusive blowout defense products at drybar.com. Now back to the episode.
I can't wait to talk about it. When I'm allowed to talk about it, you will know.
So we watched a movie that we can't talk about, but we're excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we did watch the first episode of Overcompensating with Benny Drama, and it was so funny.
We love
Owen
Benny.
Was in it. Who else was in it? Yasmin.
Everybody.
Holmes. A bunch of people we know. I was like, what
all
the
of
hell?
Our friends. So many of our friends are in yeah, that show. Crazy. Bowman was in it too.
Oh, but I haven't gotten to that episode. Yeah, I'm talking about episode one.
But
yeah.
Bowman's in it. EJ's in it.
I know EJ's in Hacks.
Oh, no, EJ's in Hacks. EJ's
which I did
Hacks.
Scream when I saw him on there, even though I saw his post that he was going to be in it. But I was love very it. Excited to see him.
Oh, everyone's getting cast but me.
Or whatever.
Whatever. Just kidding. It was really fun and so sweet. Mm-hmm. And
I definitely want to finish it.
You know, for sure. I do want to talk about my books.
Get into it. I just talked about my white girl thing. Get into yours.
Well, I wouldn't say this is a white girl thing, but the book stars a white girl. Shocker.
That's what I'm saying.
So
last episode, you talked about the first one. Now this one, you could talk about the second book.
Yeah. The second one mm-hmm. blew my socks off, dog. I was ranting about it to Billy for so long because it's like it has been a really long time. I can't even count ACOTAR because... ACOTAR I had already kind of like ruined for myself mm-hmm. so like it wasn't really a surprise. That didn't make it any less of a fun read, but there was really no surprises in it. And then the other series I was trying to read, like the Flesh and Fire one and all that, like Blood and Ash, like it's pissing me off. Quicksilver was fantastic mm-hmm. but obviously second one's not out. When I read the Viking one, I finished the first one and the second one came out the day I finished, so I was like, I might as well read this one. Mm-hmm. And I even sent Brittany a long voice note about it. She was like, wait, did I give up too soon? And I was like, yes, but you gave up way too fucking soon. Yes, because she really liked the first one. But a lot of people said this, like the first one came out a while ago. So it wasn't like it was really good, but it wasn't one that I was like, oh, I need to read the second one.
Oh, you're just like, oh, that was cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Like if I was Brittany, if I had read it months ago, like she did, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be seeking the second one either.
Why do you think you and Carrie both loved the Carrie's almost done with it. I'm pretty sure she read it. She
no,
because really
Brittany
it.
Loved the first one. I oh, loved okay. the first one. No, it's great. The first one's fucking awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, it's not like the pull and the twist at the end is like, kind of like, it's good, but it's not one that's like, I need to know what happens.
Sure.
It's just one that's like, oh, period.
Okay.
Right? And then it's like, I could see what happens. I could see what, like, it's just nothing. It's like a very middle of the road.
Okay.
The ACOTAR books, like, the ending is so strong in all of them that you're like, I have to know what happens next. Right? Okay. So, like, that's not how the first one felt. Even though there was a huge plot twist at the end. The second one, I was blown away. When I tell, like, I literally, when I can't even remember the last time I did this. I think the last time I did this was maybe when I read, like, Twilight, and I got gagged a couple times in there. But I, like, there's a plot twist in it that literally I was, like, out loud when I was reading it, out loud. I was like, and then I was really like, oh, my God. And this is your spoiler warning right here. This is your spoiler warning right here. If you haven't read it,
what's
I'm
the name
gonna
of the book?
It.
Tell them.
It's called A Fate. The first one's called A Fate Inked in Blood. The second one's called A Curse Carved in Bone. Ugh, okay. I know. There's so
here's your spoiler. So skip ahead.
Spoiler for the second one. Basically, there's this centuries long beef that's been going on between these two kings. Okay. They're fighting over this one bitch. Mm-hmm. The king, the son of the king, one of them, and her are like in love. and they're having this whole back and forth the whole first book, whatever. At the end of the book,
are all Vikings.
Yes.
Okay.
At the end of the first book, I predicted this. I was like, I feel like that dude's working for the other side, because he was kidnapped when he was a kid and kept there captive for like 7 years or some shit.
Okay.
7 to 9 years. Then he was rescued and brought back home and then has been there ever since. But he was never really fully part of them. So then I was like, I feel like that dude's working for the other side. And I told Brittany, if I can predict the ending, but you write it in a way that doesn't...
Is the tea that she's working for the other side?
No.
Okay.
Like, if I can predict the ending and it doesn't piss me off how we get there, I'm okay with it.
Sure.
So, like, turns out that was the case at the end of the first one. But what I didn't predict was that he's actually the pseudo son of the other guy, and he's been raised like a son to him. The whole time you think he was like a slave over there, mm-hmm. and he was jailed and tortured. Turns out he was being trained and molded into a weapon to be sent back, to be feigned to be rescued, so that he could get in there and kill her and then kill that fucking guy.
Okay.
But he fell in love with her and derailed the whole plan. That part I didn't predict, so I was like, T. The second one, she gets taken to the other side. Because the plan's revealed to her. She feels betrayed by him because they had just fucking said, I love you. And then she found all that bullshit out. Whatever, whatever. He's like, she's thinking, like, why would you treat this guy as your dad? Like, he killed your mom, blah, blah, blah. He's like, my mom's still alive. And her mom is like a seer, which is like a lady who can see visions of the future. And he's like, she lives alone, which has been her whole story throughout. She's like, oh my God, I'm like out of breath. Because I'm like, my heart's pounding thinking about it. Basically, his mom mm-hmm. is the one who foretold her prophecy or whatever, and she thought he died. She died in a fire.
Wait, his mom?
Yeah, his mom.
But I thought his mom died.
That's what she thought.
Yeah.
Turns out she's been alive.
Okay.
And she was living with him in this other faraway land.
So did they actually get captured, or did they go over there willingly?
No, she went over there. That's what you end up finding out. Oh, like, okay. She went over there because that guy was trying to kill her. Once she found out her son had all these powers, she escaped, faked her death. Went over there, has been plotting with him for years. Mm-hmm. They're in love. Mm-hmm. Like, they're actually
in
love.
For another king. Okay.
Yeah, they're actually in love. All his subjects love him, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then her whole world is like, what the fuck? Because she's been raised to think that all these people are evil, mm-hmm. and turns out they're not. And then she's
she learns this when she gets captured.
When she gets captured, okay. and taken over there.
He sees his mom.
Yeah, and then because he's in love with her, he's like, they're not going to hurt her. But she's like, I want to talk to your mom. I want to ask her myself if this is true. So they, like, take her to the mom. She meets the mom.
Is that also her mom?
No.
Okay.
The mom confirms everything and mm-hmm. validates it. And then kind of reads her down a little bit for being stubborn and pissed off. Because she's like, he lied to me. And she's like, he had to lie to you. Otherwise, he was going to have to kill you. Which is true. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, T. And then they're gearing up to this huge battle. And then she's slowly coming off her anger and falling back in love with him, right? Then they have this huge battle. And the whole point is to get to the other king, the original guy. And fucking kill him. She's gonna curse him and send him down to hell. Deny him Valhalla. That's the whole point. They're like,
who's doing that? Her?
Her. Because that's her superpower.
But isn't that her dad?
No, that's not her. None of these men are related to her. Oh, she's okay. Just a weapon that they're trying to use against each other. It's also about female autonomy too.
Okay, like, but she was over there with the guy she is now going to kill?
Yeah, he was just using her as a way to proclaim power over the people. Like, he wasn't gonna kill her, but he did force her to marry him and shit because he wanted the power. She's basically a weapon.
Okay.
And they're treating her like a weapon. It's not a person, right? Mm-hmm. The whole point of the battle is to get in eye line of that guy, curse him to hell, and then all of this shit's over. Mm-hmm. Just him, because she doesn't want to use it on other people anymore. It makes her feel awful.
Her powers.
Yeah, okay. Because that one denies them Valhalla, which is like the greatest sin you could commit against them. And she's like, okay, T. And then she can't get him, but she kills hundreds of other soldiers, right, to get to him. Then they finally get cornered on this island, and it's her man's, the king that's like his pseudo dad, and mm-hmm. then his mom, mm-hmm. right, the seer.
Did they kill the mom?
No. Turns out, this is the twist that I was like,
Come to find out.
The king, his name's Harold. That's his pseudo dad, right? Okay. Turns out that dude has a power that nobody knew about. His power is like his godfather, like his father that is a god, is Loki, okay. which is the god of mischief, yes. right? His power is he can shapeshift and look like anyone. This motherfucker has been pretending to be his mom. For the last night.
So he did kill the mom?
Yes!
Oh my god.
And he was pretending to be her for 9
How does he
fucking
do that?
Years. Because he says, my mom has to live secluded. She can't handle the visions of others.
So he's never seen the two of them together?
Yes! They've never been in the same room! I literally was like, oh my god, what the fuck? And then it goes back over each story where you're talking about the mom's new involvement. Like, after when they think she died, the first prophecy she foretells about her being the key to destruction, right? The main girl. That's the last prophecy she foretold before she was killed. Every other vision after that that's been given from to
she's
her.
She's been making them up.
She's been, he's been making
they said that you have to give me all your money.
And then the kid, the guy, Bjorn, like, that's not, he's been convinced that's his mom. He's been hanging out with him, like, being like, mom, I love you, mom. Like, and then every other person.
Come to find out
that's not even his mom. His mom's been dead the whole time. And he did kill her, and he killed her out of jealousy because she liked the other guy more. And it's crazy because right before you find that out, he has his biological dad, which is the first king. That's his biological dad with his witch mom, right? He's like, battle me. Like, you, I know you killed my mom because I was fucking, she told me. Turns out it's not even her. But he's like, pick up your sword and fucking fight me. Like, one-on-one, let's do it. And like, I'm going to fucking kill you once and for
this
all.
This is the king that the girl married?
Yes. Okay. But that's his biological dad. He's talking to his biological dad. And he's telling him, fight me for real. And then he's like, I'm not going to fight you because I didn't kill your mom. And I swear on her life and mine, I did not kill your mom. And then he's like, you fucking did. You liar. Fucking admit it. And then, like, the Freya, the main girl, she's just watching because she can't get involved. Because she's just like, this is a train that I cannot stop.
She needs to kill that king, right?
Yeah, this entire time. The fake mom has been saying that Bjorn, who is her man's, he can't be the one to kill his biological dad. It has to be Freya. Like, she's been saying that forever. He's had so many opportunities to kill him, but didn't, because that's not what Odin wanted. Turns out that's not true.
Because he's lying.
Well, yes. And the whole point was to turn all of both sides of the kingdoms against the two of them. Because then he's telling one side it was her, he's telling the other side it was him, and then they all hate the two of them together, and then he gets to rule over everyone. It's crazy. I'm literally sweating. It's crazy. And then after, when he's like, I'm not gonna fight you, and then right before he's like, when he's denying him the fight, like, his dad is telling him, I'm not gonna fight you, he goes, I want you to know I love you, and I would never hurt your mom, you know that. And then he kills him, and in just a rage.
He kills his dad?
Yeah, he kills his biological dad in just a rage. And then the guy goes, well done, well done. And then he morphs into his mom, and then he morphs back into himself. And then they're like, what the fuck? And so basically he orchestrated all this drama to get them to kill him, so that he could tell one side he killed him, the other side she killed them. And then they're public enemy number one at that point. Then he can unite everyone against the two of them. And then everyone lives happily ever after. The worst part is that everybody loves him. So if they escape and they're like, he's a liar, he's a manipulator, whatever, no one's going to believe them because he's so beloved. It's crazy.
The shapeshifter?
Yeah.
Oh. That was a lot.
The plot twist blew my mind. I'm literally sweating. That's how emphatic I was getting about that. I was so worked up when I read it. I was like, I haven't felt like that about a book in so long, where I was like, I genuinely was gagged, because I was telling Billy, most of the time I can predict where it's going for the most part. And then I said, like, and then if I can't tell, then I'm like, oh, pleasant surprise. That one, I was like, what the fuck? And then it was done in a way that, like, it makes sense. Because there was shit like that in the Blood and Ash books, too. But I was like, what are we talking about?
There was no clues or anything. Yeah.
Well, it's just like you're introducing chaos for the sake of.
Yeah.
Like, and then Brittany asked me, she was like, I have a question. That's what she sounded in her voice note. But she said, is the second one, are there rug pulls for the sake, like, to further the storyline? Or is it because she wrote herself into a corner, which is how the Blood and Ash books feel? And I was like, no, dude. And then, like, it's funny because when they find that out, because there's a huge portion of the chapter, because she's so fucking pissed off at her man's, is she's getting to know other people in the circle that they've been side characters up until this point. So she starts trying to learn more about their devotion to this king, why they love him so much, like, why they came into his service. And so you're learning a lot about their sad, like, tragic fucking backstories. And each one, he's like a hero in them. He, like, took them, gave them, you know, an opportunity for vengeance, an opportunity for justice, and then they serve him willingly, like they want to. Then when you find out his secret, turns out all of the terrible things that have happened in their life, he caused so that he could save them so that they would be willing to serve him willingly.
Yeah.
And I was like,
all right, friends, we're gonna take one more quick little break. And this is with our friends at Hugs. So Hugs can help reduce stress and anxiety through deep touch pressure, similar to how a weighted blanket works. This can activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which can help soothe, comfort, and relax you. You can heat up your Hugs in the microwave, which is great for cramps and further relaxation. Or you can cool your Hugs in the freezer, which is great for panic attacks and fevers. Inside the Hugs are non-toxic glass beads. I've told you before that I love that they feel like weighted blankets, but it's not too heavy. It feels really nice and relaxing. I have the little cow that's white and black, and his name is Milkshake, and I take him everywhere. I'm not joking, and I love him so much. And I love that this is a great anxiety hack that's cute, cuddly, and weighted. So meet Give Hugs, the plushie that does more than just look adorable. These cozy little buddies can be heated, cooled, and cuddled to help with stress, cramps, or just those UGG kind of days. Whether you're gifting or self-soothing, it's basically a weighted hug you can actually hold. Head to givehugs.co, that's givehugs.co, and use code 2idiotgirls for 20% off your first order. Now back to the episode. That's crazy.
Crazy cuckoo bananas. Highly recommend. It was fun. And I told her, and it ends. And it ends perfectly, in my opinion, because it's not drawn out for like 17 more books. Mm-hmm. It's literally, it's wrapped up with a beautiful little bow at the end. Gave me the ending I wanted. Shouts out to them. And shade to The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Did they set it up for another one?
No, it's done.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's why I said, best part, dude, it's over. Mm-hmm. And the second one, and it ended perfectly, in my opinion.
That's cool.
So I was like, and period, period, period.
What was the curse carved in bone?
Oh, the curse carved in bone was the fact that one of her powers was that she has like a shield thing, like where she can call to like make her shield magic. And then the other power is the one where she can curse people and deny them Valhalla.
I would like that power.
And like,
but then I would just do it to people that kind of.
And she literally goes, I curse you. And then these like fucking branches come up from the ground, and then they just drag them underneath and they suffocate in the dirt. And then they get sent to hell. Literally. And there's a goddess named Hel, H-E-L. And that's her mom. That's one of her moms.
She has lesbian moms?
Yeah, she has two god moms. She got one drop of blood from each of them. That's why she's got two powers.
How'd she get that?
How'd she get the god?
How did she get so lucky to get two?
Oh, I don't remember. Like, they do explore that in the... And that they like explain it. There is a part though where she's stuck after she finds out all this shit, and then they take Bjorn, and then they're like, fucking see ya, die here, right, to her. And she curses herself to hell so she can get out of there. So she like runs through hell. It's crazy. It's nuts. And what's funny is that book only has, I think, one smut scene at the very, like, it's like at 60-70% in. It's not even very long. The whole thing's just battles and lore. So interesting.
That's cool.
So anyways,
that's
big
how
fan.
I feel watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I get just as sweaty and excited as you are right now.
Yeah. I told you, I was like, I thought, I find Viking shit very fascinating.
Sure.
I find that kind of like cultural history fascinating.
Yeah.
Also, this drink is getting slowly worse as I get to the bottom of
it. It's not good when it starts to melt. It's only good the first couple sips. I feel that. What was I gonna tell you guys? I read Remarkably Bright Creatures. Well, I started getting more into Sunburn. That one's such a slow burn, but I'm working on it.
Sunburn, more like slow burn.
For real.
I think I'm gonna read one. There's one called Phantasma. I think I'm gonna read that next.
I saw it on TikTok and people were saying they didn't like it.
I know. There's so many different like reviews.
Or maybe I saw one of you comment. I think it was a comment one of you said.
Not Phantasma.
That they did not like it.
I've been recommended Phantasma many times.
Well, give it a whirl, girl.
Well, someone told me to. A lot of you have been telling me to read One Dark Window. Brittany told me to read that too. I do have it. I need more. I've been told enough about it to be like. Do I think that. I also just thought of something I have to tell you after we stop recording.
Okay.
Do I think that like smut is necessary? I've said this many times. No. But I do need something. Like, sure. I need like some sort of attraction, some sort of relationship like
that.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of a love thing in there.
Something. Yeah. Like even in the second one, Like, she fucking hates him for the first majority of the book, which is kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. But then you start growing more of a fondness for him, and you're like, this bitch is annoying.
Okay.
But, like, I need something. Even that. Like, even if they fucking hate each other, I need that, too. I need something.
Yeah, you need attention of sorts.
Yes.
Sure.
Come on.
Oh, but I was going to tell you guys, as I did buy, it's by Ashley Herring Blake. She makes the Bright Falls series. I did buy on my Kindle, got to start this one. It's called Dream On, Ramona Riley. And I'm fired up. Need a new lesbian book.
Nice.
Even though I have 4,000 of them at home. But that's the next one I'm probably going to start reading.
I'm so glad that Carrie's almost done with it. I was like, I need you.
Also, she really likes it. She was just talking to me about it yesterday.
I am pushing that agenda hard. I am selling a lot of those books. A lot of people are taking my recommendation seriously. And if you don't care about spoilers and you watch that whole thing, bitch, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And when I was telling Billy about it, I just told him the whole plot from start to finish. When I was telling him about it the other day, he was like, I was like, isn't that crazy?
What are you reading next? I don't even know why you sighed like that.
That's just how I feel.
I feel that.
Well, I might read Phantasma. I have that queued up. So many people have been like, throw in a glass, girl, throw in a glass. I already told you, bitches, I tried throw in a glass.
How many of them did you read?
Two.
Oh.
No, I read one and a half.
Okay.
Didn't finish the second.
DNF'd
because I was just so sick and tired of getting cucked. I was getting fucking cucked, and I was so sick and tired of it.
I get that.
But also, like, it started getting so complicated that I was like, hold on. And then I just, like, my brain couldn't, like, register.
Sure.
But, like, ugh. Okay, guys. I already know, like, the Aelin, and you're not going to understand any of this. I already know the Aelin Rowan storyline. I already know that's where it ends, right? I want to skip to that part. Like, is there a way for me to get to that part without having to do the first fucking five books? Like, no, right? Okay, so this is what I do. I just Google what happens with Aelin and Rowan, and then I read the wiki, and then it tells me go to these chapters to get the first time they meet and when they train and when this happens, and then I just jump around like that. That's how I be doing it.
Sure.
Also, something else I'll say about the Viking book is I really like that the language sounds like how they would talk at the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more born on the cob to me than when they're like using Gen Z slang or terminology and they're like set in a different time period. Like,
that's what happens in those books.
In the second Fourth Wing book, they're like, Brittany has told me that.
Wait, okay.
The Fourth Wing books are not set in olden times necessarily, but it's like dragons and like, there's no cell phones or anything like that. Okay. If that makes sense. Like, they exist in that weird in between, kind of like Harry Potter. But there's no like Muggle world. Sure. You know what I'm saying? And according to the internet and even what Brittany told me, like, I don't know if she just wrote it fast and because she like needed to put out the second one. But like, there's a lot of Gen Z terminology in it.
Do you have an explanation or an example?
I don't have a literal one, but I know if you looked it up, there would be. But it's like not me riding my dragon. It's like
not you rizzing me off with my dragon.
I think the kids call that rizz. Like, there is like literal terms like that being used in that book for real.
I don't believe you.
Look it up. I saw it on TikTok.
Fourth Wing Riz.
Yeah, it's like, it's called Onyx Storm Gen Z language. Just Google that. And like, I saw bitches complaining about it on TikTok because they were like, what is this?
Gen Z slang?
Yeah.
Let me see.
There was like so many TikToks about it, I kept seeing.
Okay, here are some examples.
Yeah.
I don't know if these are ones that are in the book. I'm assuming it's also using whatever the fuck. But it says, they said yeet. Lark says it's used to express excitement, enthusiasm, or triumph, often with a physical gesture. In what world would they need to use the word yeet?
Isn't
to express excitement? Doesn't a yeet means you throw something?
Yeah, he got yeeted out of
here. Yeah. Not my dragon yeeting me in a battle.
My dragon just yeeted me off his back.
It's funny because it's giving
dragon rider.
They have lit and a bop in here.
Yeah.
Well, it says these are examples of Gen Z slang, so maybe these aren't in there. But is Lark a character in Fourth Wing?
Lark?
That's what it says. Who's Lark?
I don't know.
Oh no, it's a website. I thought it was a character. No, and then it has Skibbity. They do not use that in there. I refuse it. Oh, I don't understand.
Maybe I can look it up on TikTok. Let me see. I saw ones on TikTok. The girls were talking shit.
Let me see.
Oh. That was a choice. I get what you're saying. And it kind of makes me feel like they're just my friends that go to Biscay for college while I'm over here at Hunter College and we meet up on winter breaks and stuff, you know? Don't get me wrong. I feel like any other book, I would be like, huh? But some of these characters...
Is that one that bad? We're cooked?
That's pretty bad. Yeah, that's such a recent term. Like,
I think, well, no, I've heard people say, oh, man, like in old corny movies, they'd be like, oh, man, we're cooked. Wouldn't they say that? Not he ate you with that. Like, if they said that, I'd be like, I don't, what are you saying to me?
Or things like, well, that's a choice.
Yeah.
It was like Gen Z and like millennial slang. I'm not saying it's illegal.
They're saying that they also said period.
Okay. I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm saying it's distasteful. I'm saying it takes me out of the story. Sure. Because... if I wanted that shit, I would just go watch cosplayers on TikTok. I would not be reading a book, right? So, like, in the Viking one, they talk the way that they would talk at the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, none of it is current. None of it is, like, even when they're apologizing to each other, they're like, I owe you my sincerest apologies. I was cruel back then, and you did not deserve that. Like, the way they talk is so formal. Yeah. And, like, I fuck with it because it keeps you in the real.
Yeah.
It's just like Game of Thrones. Like, they modernized it so you could understand it, but not to a point where it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I understand that.
So, I feel like that's what turned people off to that book, and in addition to other things,
a lot of people,
I'm sure,
like them, though. So, maybe some people don't mind it. It's just not your cup of tea, and that's okay.
It's not my vibes, but I'm not against corny in the books. Yeah. Trust me.
Like
I love
corny?
I like a little corn here
and there.
I honestly
think more of us should be corny. Don't you agree?
I think we should embrace being corny.
I'm actually going to play a clip from, it's a live show from Upstairs Neighbors that I just retweeted or reposted because it made me laugh so hard, and they're talking about dating a corny guy.
Okay.
When a show you that they are corny... you must believe that they are on the
call. No, this praying for real.
You right. Have to believe it.
You, the part that this is obviously so funny, but Dom.
Because they will be there, and you will tell yourself that they're not. You know what I mean? Like, you'll be like, oh my god, no, like they're like funny, like da 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 da.
Corny people will take you down. Down with them. When you're a victim of someone's corniness,
yeah,
that has you moving. You like literally
no, different.
You like stop it from jump. Like you're literally like
you have to. You have to.
If you've ever had someone like,
yeah,
like literally like fedora, like
yeah, literally
like do some to you for real. You will never look at them the same. Like dead eye. Like
ever.
Like when they really say some villainous that you're like, wow. Wow.
And I let you get away with so much, and then you do that in my face. That's enough.
It's so true. Like,
it's so sobering.
I'm not even kidding. Like, and this is like what I wish I could tell you guys all the thoughts I'm having in my head right now. I just made this joke the other day to Dayson and Alex, but I said, why so many bad bitches in my inner circle are dancing with these corn on the cob people, and it drives me insane. It makes me go insane. It makes me go insane. I see it so clearly, and I'm like, you can tell when someone's corniness is inauthentic.
It's performative.
You're joking. I the people in my inner circle, I'm like, you're kidding. You're actually kidding. You're fucking kidding. Like
sometimes I feel like I'm outside with fucking Remick and you're inside telling me the truth. I am so
not okay. I literally made my it's so true. And it's like, and I've said this before too. When my bitches are dating unfunny people, they become unfunny. And I hate, it's like watching a flower wilt.
You hate to see it.
It's like you're trapped behind the glass and I can't get to you. Like that's how it feels. I'm so dead ass. It feels like putting the prettiest flower.
Your Katniss when what's his face gets killed in front of her.
It truly feels like putting.
What's that guy's name? Cinna.
Yeah, they locked me in the tube and then started beating the shit out of you in front of me. And I'm like, no, as I'm being taken to the game.
I'm Opie being obliterated in by a prisoner.
In the interrogation room without me. I truly feel like I just, oh my God, it's so bad. It's so bad. Like, you absorb their corn so quickly. It's insane.
We've all dated a corny, well, not all of us, but it is much more common to have dated it. I just think it's one thing to be corny. You cannot be mean to me, too. That should be against the law.
They go hand in hand is my point.
I know. It's true.
Like, that's, and my point is, it's like, true. Like, some people think, like, here's the distinction. This is some shit. I'm really going to put you on some shit.
Okay.
Some of you bitches need to know the difference between someone.
You're an anthropologist, if you will.
Truly. Some of you bitches need to know the difference between cringe. Mm-hmm. And corny.
Sure.
Cringe is like, you could see past cringe. Cringe, yeah. To be cringe is to be free.
Yeah, I feel
that. Because
like.
Cringe is embracing things that people deem to be like stupid or weird or lame, mm-hmm. when they're just, that's just cultural, like, that's like mean girl mentality, yeah. right? Corny is something entirely different.
Yeah.
Corny is like, there's even the most anime loving fedora wearing bitch you know could be misogynistic.
Yes.
Even that bitch could be. And that's why when you're corny, you're something sinister is lurking beneath the surface.
Yeah.
A perfect example is Shameik Moore and Hailee Steinfeld. Tell me that dude's not a fucking weirdo. Like, and who's making him look weird?
Him.
She's not doing jack shit. She's not doing anything. Neither was that other girl, that beautiful model that he did that weirdo shit to. And she's engaged to another man. She said that was the first and last time she met him.
She was an actress.
And she's a model.
Her name's Laura Harrier. Wasn't it her that said that
about him? I believe so.
I'm going to look it up. I'm listening.
The way that he was acting, like, to him, he'd be like, nice guys finish last. Even though we all know he was being creepy weirdo.
It was her.
Creepy weirdo. And then she even said,
you're a fucking weirdo.
She even said, she texted him.
And I quote, I'm reading it from her video, you're a fucking
she
weirdo.
She texted him, you're a fucking weirdo. Take that shit down. She's so mean. That, you see the difference.
I think she's engaged too. She doesn't just have a boyfriend. I think she's engaged.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay, sorry.
She was recently engaged,
yeah.
And then he posted that shit, and that was from a party the year before, mm-hmm. and that was the first and last time she had seen and talked to him.
Yeah, and even then she was still dating her boyfriend.
Yes, yeah. And she said, like, I literally messaged him and said, "Take this down, you fucking weirdo," and he did. He did, because men are easy and stupid. But that's my point. I'm saying, like, when you date someone who's cringe, like, sometimes that just brings out the best in you.
Yeah.
Like, they where they can be cringy.
Yeah.
When you date someone who's corny.
Yeah.
You lose your sparkle. They drain your sparkle
fast. When they post that meme, it's a ball, but it's made out of corn.
Yes. And it just says, born on the cob, head ass. Oh, God, forgive me if I ever dated someone who was corny. And corny dudes, like, do shit like that.
I know.
Corny dudes do weirdo shit like that. Like, when I watch the clips of his interviews with Hailee Steinfeld, oh, my God. Nothing makes me, like, want to claw my own skin off. Because I'm just like, if I was in that press junket, I'd be mad. That he was making all of us uncomfortable.
Pause.
You're making all of us uncomfortable. You're not the only one in here, all right? Be mindful of other people in the room. Oh, my God. Some of you just need to learn the difference. Because when you do, then you can distinguish in men very easily. Like, men say corny-ass shit like that. I was just showing Billy a TikTok today, and he was like, I saw this one on my free page, too. And it was this guy basically saying that anyone trying to defend that DDG fucking piece of shit... are corny weirdos.
Watch him on his literal stream?
Yes, where he's arguing with the AI. And she was winning. The AI was outsmarting you. You stupid fucking bitch.
He's bring me back my son.
And what's not even worse, what's awesome about that is that will be used in a court against you.
What are you doing?
Being a psycho.
Corny.
Corny. See what I mean? Corny, bro. Corny ass shit. Oh, fuck that dude. But anyways, it was this guy, and he was, there was like a comment from a fucking another shithead kid, and he was like, the hoes are gonna love this one or something like that, because he was saying you guys are fucking corny and lame and weird if you support DDG, whatever.
Oh, I did see that video. Yeah,
and it's the guy in the do-rag.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was saying like, what's crazy is like, I'm not on this app to meet women. Are you insane? Like, and then when I watched the whole thing, because it's so true, and that's what Billy was talking, it talks about all the time, and I was telling him, I've never finished the other half of that sentence in my head. Like, I know that the men who are balls deep, brain rot TikTok like that are almost always red pill. Like, they almost always are straight men who are like that. But men who are not
leaning towards it, like, their head, it's a pipeline, and I get that. Yeah,
straight men who are not awful in real life, I know many, right, in real life, they are never on TikTok like that.
No.
If they are on, they are on TikTok, but their algorithms are so specifically curated to their interests that they're strange. Like, you know when girls watch their boyfriend's For You pages and it's the most random shit you've ever seen? That's like Billy's For You page. That's Jared's. That's our friend Jalen. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking about all the straight men I know in real life. My dad, my brother, right? My uncle, my grandfather, like... There's For You pages are so specific to them.
I can't tell you how many times both Billy and Jared have sent me TikToks that I have already seen because we have the very similar For You pages.
Same. Last night, me and Jared sent each other the exact same TikTok within a minute of each other. And then he messaged me and said, oh my God, dude, at the same time? That's crazy.
At the same damn time.
Yeah.
No, same with reels. The reels that Jared will send me are memes. They're already ones I've already seen. Yeah.
And it's like, and I was like thinking, that's so true. That men who get pussy for real, like men who are not awful and they're really nice, genuine people, they're never on TikTok like that. Like, Billy's on TikTok all the time, but doesn't know anything that's happening.
No.
Because it's
like workouts, yeah, and, it's like and animal videos.
Yeah, he's like surrounded by sound walls, which must be so nice. Mm-hmm. But like, that's how every good straight man I know, all of their experiences on social media are that.
That's how, like,
that's it.
Like, my For You page is full of a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, all so I ever send Carrie is videos of cats. Yeah. And then she was showing me what her sister sends her, just videos of cats. That's all that I have right now. That, there's bunnies in there, there's otters.
I send Carrie a lot of book talk ones.
Yeah, which she loves. And she loves to read. Yeah. Loves to read. Alex doesn't know how to read, but I'm just kidding. Carrie loves to read. Alex likes to read.
Right.
I like to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the video that Brittany put in her Instagram story, like while we're on vacation, of that guy tasting wine but like pretending to be a sommelier. Did you watch it? Yeah,
like, I got it on my For You page,
like right after, and it had like less than 2,000 likes.
Yeah,
so funny.
I just like, I was like, that's so true. Like, I was thinking about all the straight men I know in real life that are great people, and like their For You pages are fucking weird. And then when I talk to them about work, they're like, really? Like, they're just so, like, they never see me. They never see anyone I know.
No,
they're just always like, wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah,
like,
same.
It's just so, like, they're just so not attached to it because that's not who they are. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just not, they're not awful, and they don't need to seek validation from other young men on the internet.
I feel that,
which is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And homoerotic. I don't know if you guys know that, but
it has to be at least a little bit.
So anywho, I just thought that was so interesting. I saw another guy talk about it too, and he was saying, this is like proof that you guys, like, you live in these very violent echo chambers, like these kinds of men. But he was saying it translates to so many other things, like, because men have been raised and sociologically conditioned to be tools as opposed to like being human beings. Like, he was saying, so it's almost like you guys, like, it gets to a point where a man can make enough money and have enough talent that they don't need to worry about being a good person. And that's what all of you are striving for at this point. It's not, I should learn how to be a better person. It's, if I get rich and famous, it won't matter.
Yeah.
And that's why people like P. Diddy survive. That's why people like R. Kelly, Chris Brown, like all of these very violent, like Harvey Weinsteins of the world.
Yeah,
like
Elon Musk.
Yeah, they continue to exist and perpetuate these awful things because if it gets to a certain point of fame and infamy or money, doesn't matter. And he's like, but for women, it is required that you are a good person to be considered a good woman.
Wow.
Whereas if you're a man, you could be a good man. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to be a good person, which is just like crazy to think about in that sense. I thought it was such a great video. And in it, he said a good example too is like sports. Like, he's like, you guys don't even have camaraderie within the things that are supposedly for men. Cause he was saying, like, for example, he loves basketball. Like, he loves a very specific team in basketball. And he was saying there was like one time in the playoffs or whatever, there was this discourse going around about how, oh, this one guy did such a great job. He ate. And he goes, no, he didn't. And he was saying, like, and this is how I know you guys don't actually watch basketball. You just report what you see other bitches talking about online. Like, he was saying, like, you're memorizing things, opinions that men who actually give a fuck about football, like, or basketball or whatever, like, you're just memorizing what you think cool guys would say. Which is crazy because then it's just like that
player.
Oh no, they were just like basically they were just gassing up his performance as if he did this unbelievable run, and he was like, no, he didn't. He had a very average performance.
Oh, I see.
But it's because one shithead guy is just a big fan of him, mm-hmm. says it, and then they just regurgitate it. And then I was thinking, that's even crazier because that proves you're a narcissist because you have to mirror what other people do because you have no sense of self, which is why you're so abusive to others. Like, mm-hmm. and I was like.
Just yeah, like, I get that.
So you're just like reciting things you've seen? Oh my God.
Are you not exhausted?
Being a man is so boring. I just have to memorize facts about other
sports
men.
And gym.
Oh my God. I can't even. Can you imagine?
I don't want to.
It's so awful. I might make a video about this, but I'm still on the fence because I have to figure out how to word it.
Okay.
But you know how I've talked many times about how when I was like, I almost said auditioning for the NFL when I was being interviewed, mm-hmm. one of the steps was like a quiz. And it was like an hour long conversation where they're just asking me questions about generally NFL knowledge. Like, it wasn't necessarily like how many players are on the field. It's like who do you think is going to make a playoff run this year and why?
Gosh, where to begin?
who do you think standing out in the draft? Like, why do you what moves in the offseason do you think need to be made? It's like shit like that, right?
For who?
For me. Like, for anyone.
Oh.
That's why it's really open-ended. Like, okay. They just want to hear my opinions, but it's to test my football IQ, which is, I don't know if they do that for everyone. I could start a rumor and say they only do it for women.
I guarantee they do it for everyone.
But I'm sure they do it for everyone to some extent. To the extent of which they do it, I don't know, right? I can't speak to. But obviously, I've said before, I had to do that. It was arguably one of the hardest parts of the interview process. But for a good portion of it, because I knew that was coming up, I studied for it. So I did a lot of my own research, but then I also used Billy a lot. Like, I asked Billy, I quizzed Billy extensively about things that he had opinions on, and I wrote all of them down.
So you're like these men we were describing.
Essentially, yes, I am a narcissist too in this sense.
Yes, but you actually got to work at the NFL and they won't.
Yeah, well, and so I was like, I joke about it all the time because I'm like, did I cheat? Maybe, but I still got in there, so
well,
it's all the same.
You just did prep like they do.
Well, I watched tape, obviously, but I was like telling Billy, like, I want to tell this story. I just don't want to tell it because then I know they'll be like, see, I told you women don't know fucking shit about football. I know a lot about sports, but I knew if I wanted an edge, I needed something that nobody was going to think of because I distinctly remember because they put you on FaceTime too. So like they can watch you. And I had my notes like next to my laptop so I could read. And I remember the main guy who's like an older dude has worked at the NFL for fucking a decade. I said one thing. He's like, what are some storylines that you think people should be talking more about? And I was like,
I got a new cup and I'm really excited about it.
I said something. I remember it being something about Clay Matthews. I don't remember. I think it had to do with him. And
is he still playing?
Not anymore. No, I don't think. But it was like something about his, like, I forget.
Okay.
His move to somewhere that opened up something else. Mm-hmm. And then I remember that man who's in charge going, that is so interesting. Why do you say that? And then I elaborated what Billy told me verbatim. I repeated it verbatim. And he was like, oh my God. Take some notes. That is such a good point. And then I remember thinking, I am so glad I talked to Billy.
I infiltrated.
I fucking got your ass.
I made it behind enemy lines, yeah. Team.
And then I was telling Billy, I want to tell this story because I'm like, from a very superficial lens, when you hear that story, you could be like, this dumb bitch doesn't know anything about football and she cheated to get in.
Why do I need to know everything to learn how to post for you on Instagram?
For another lens?
Are you coaching the teams?
I was telling him, if anything, from another lens, I've outsmarted you all.
Yeah.
I used what I knew would be your judgment
you
of
tar- me. You Tarzaned your way into the nest.
Into the harem. I truly outsmarted you beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to judge me extra hard because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. So I got the knowledge from someone that you could never have, because what he told me is something no one would know unless they've played football for a very long time.
And that's you.
At a high level.
Yes.
And that's why he was so, whoa, when I told him. Because, and then I said, I went straight to the fucking source. I got sure. it from the horse's mouth.
I think
bitch.
you asked daddy for a bunch of stuff too.
I did.
Perspective, yeah.
And I was like, and they gave me a lot of, and I asked them, what are some accounts that you guys follow that aren't ESPN, Bleacher Report, like stuff like that? Billy gave me a few. My dad gave me a few.
Grape Juice Boys.
what is it? The Shade Room.
I really like Fuck Jerry.
I really like The Shade Room.
TMZ.
TMZ. E! News. Dumois.
Dumois.
And then when they, and then I didn't even know if they were going to ask me that question. And mm-hmm. then they said, what are some accounts you follow that aren't main accounts? And I told them, and they said why, and I told them, and they were like, wow.
House of Highlights.
And I was like, I just feel like my IQ is higher than everyone's combined mm-hmm. because I predicted where it was going. I prepped as if I was an expert.
Sure.
And then I got in there. Now, did I get fired? Yes.
There was no quiz that you could have prepared for that.
Did I spend too much time on Photoshop and Baby Yoda? Maybe.
Also, yes.
But that's besides the point. Anyways, I've been talking forever. My bad.
Wait, really fast. We tried these Dunkin'. What are these called?
They were called...
It doesn't have the name.
It just says Dunkin' Energy.
That's okay, maybe that's what they're called. But I don't think there's Red Bull in them. I think Drew said it's like clean energy or something.
Yeah, it's like clean energy.
Whatever the fuck. But I told you, it's just sparkling water and syrup. I know that to be true.
Well,
and
then I'm hydrated.
I got one earlier today, and then which the exact same flavor. And then when I got to Drew's house, she's like, guess what I ordered you? She's like, I've never tried these before. I'm like, I ordered the exact same thing this morning.
And she also tried it for the first time today.
Mm-hmm.
Twins.
Interlinked.
Twins.
Anyways, that's gonna do it for this week's episode of Two Idiot Girls.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you buy Drew's book. Make sure you sign up for the Patreon. And other than that, we'll see you next week with a new topic. Love you. Bye.
Bye.